Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to Blog Talk, episode Rosh Kodesh, New Moon. I'm your host, Shabbael, Brother Rob. Mm-hmm. Yahweh Congregation, Baltimore, Maryland, under the tutelage of Yakael Ben Gershon Ben Daniel, HaMashiach Yahushua, our spiritual leader. I want to open up with a prayer. Bow your head, bow your heart. Hallelujah. Father Yah, first of all, forgive me of my sins, knowingly and unknowingly, to a merciful and holy God that you are. Father Yah, thank you for waking me up today, giving me the breath of life, and giving me another chance to get it right and be a witness in this darkened world for you. Father Yah, may I decrease and so you can increase your spirit forth through me and use me as your vessel of honor to bring forth what you want to be brought forth this evening on this new moon for the 8th month of Bull. Father God, forgive us. Forgive our spiritual leader of his sin and continue to bless him and his family. Bless all the Kohen. Father God, continue to watch over the Beth Yahweh family, the little ones, the children, the teenagers. Father God, bless over the young adults in Beth Yahweh. Bless over our Zakin Ward. Heal him where he may need healing and comfort. Bless Zakin Gary. Heal his hip, Father God, and comfort him. Continue to bless Sister Debbie as you continue to heal her. Continue to bless Brother Dane well as he continues to grow stronger and stronger. Hallelujah, Father God. Father God, bless Brother Shafutel. Continue to heal him, Father God, as he recuperating from COVID-19. Still battling with that, but continue to bless him and strengthen him. Continue to bless anyone in the Beth Yahweh family that needs healing. Sister Kaya, continue to heal her finger that she cut out on Suko. Hopefully they're healing perfectly, Father God. Bless all our sisters in the congregation. Continue to put your spirit on them as they have the commission of Titus to teach women at their best, daughters of Yah, the Most High, to tear down the spirit of Jezebel that's disguised as feminism now in the modern time. Continue to lead them. May they be humble and they be good stewards of you and be good helpmates to their spouses, those that are married, the wives. Continue, Father Yah, to heal anyone in the Beth Yahweh family that's going through any physical or mental problems and emotional problems or financial. Shalom. Give them shalom, heal them fully. And bless our family members, all of our children and family members, siblings, parents, loved ones that don't know your truth and your way. May they come out of the darkness and may they see the glory of your light, Father Yah. Anything I forgot to pray for, Father Yah, pray for me. Thank you in the name of your son, Yahushua, HaMashiach, our soon coming King and Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to read the opening blessing for tonight. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers, inaugurate for us this month for good and for blessings, for joy and for gladness, for salvation and for consolation, for sustenance and support, for good life and peace, for pardon of sin and forgiveness of iniquity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, who sanctifies Israel in the new moon. Amen. Welcome, family and new listeners. As you know, at Beth Yahweh, we encourage you to, before listening to the program, to have your Bible if you have no other thing near you. But it's good to take notes. But most importantly, have your Bible so you can write down notes. Tonight is the first of Bull on Yahweh's calendar, which is the eighth month. You'll find that in Scripture, in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 38. It will tell you that this is the eighth month according to Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the seas and all them that's in them, all the fowl that falls in the air. On the Gregorian calendar, today is the 26th of October, the 10th month in the year 2022. If you can hear me, someone give me a thumbs up, please. Shoot me a text, please. Give me a thumbs up. And tell me if I'm coming in muffled or unclear. And I'll try to stand in an area where. So, today is the 8th month, and we're coming out of the 7th month, which was Ethanim. 7th month. Out of all of Yahweh, all of Yahweh months that he gave us, as the opening blessing says, he sustains us and support us and pardon us of our sins and forgiveness of our iniquities. And he sanctifies us. So this 7th month we just came out of, we had the end of the holy season, which Sukkot took place from the 15th of the 7th month to the 21st, where you leave your permanent dwellings. For those who may be first-time listeners, you find that in Leviticus chapter 23, starting at verse 33. You leave your, and also for those with New Testament followers, you find it in John chapter 7. That's what that piece is talking about. And then, yes, as Brother Ariel mentioned, it's Savage teaching last Shabbat, when he used those chapters for his teaching of leadership, coming, bringing forth the book of Titus. Excuse me. He mentioned how they used the word, it was the Jews' feast. That was the feast of Yahweh, as you'll find in Leviticus chapter 23. You'll find those are feasts of Yahweh. They're the holy days of the Most High Yahweh. Yahweh did not make something for just one specific ethnicity or group of people or nation of people. Yes, he entrusted the nation of Israel when he brought them out of bondage, Egyptian bondage for over 400 years they were in. But he entrusted them the oracles. You'll find that in Romans chapter 3. Because what advantage does the Jew have? So even though it says in John chapter 7, it was a feast of the Jews, or you read in John number 6 or 1 of 12, it says the Jews' Passover was coming. If you're a believer of the Most High God, created heaven and earth, and you believe in his Son, that goes for those in the Christian denomination that believe in his Son, even though they call him by a Greek name that isn't his name. His name is Yahushua. That goes for you too, because if you believe in the Son, those are the days of the Most High. The Son even abided and obeyed those days. Because the Father cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 says that, so there's no way the Father would say out his mouth, he says that that's my well-beloved Son, if Yahushua did anything wrong. Could do that. Yahushua right then would not be the sacrificial lamb without sin and a blemish that was offered on the 14th of Abib to take away the sin of the world that was given from before the foundations of mankind. Because why? We know what? In Exodus chapter 20, what's that? The commandment, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. He said he was the Son of God, the Son of, so right there. So there's no way that those things, you cannot exclude those things and say they're the feast of the Jews or the Jews' Passover. If you believe in God and his Son, that's your Passover also. And maybe this first time you're hearing it put this way, but it's true. It's no separation. Because remember, in Matthew and John, and Matthew, where it speaks of when he gave up the ghost in the ninth hour, which we call 3 p.m., because the day starts at sunset in the evening. Sunset to sunset, like the day in Baltimore, Maryland, on the northeast coast of the United States, around 6:12, the sunset here. So right now we're in the new day, which would be Thursday on the Gregorian calendar, which would be the fifth day, and fifth day, Wednesday, the fourth day, fifth day. Evening to evening begins the day, not 12:01 midnight, like it's been told. So therefore, when he gave up the ghost on the ninth hour, it said the partition was torn. The veil was ripped. It was torn. So therefore now, you can enter. You don't require a high priest, as it was set up for a shadow of things. All those things pointed to and sacrifices of goats and lambs and bulls, they pointed turtle doves, they pointed to Yahushua, the ultimate sacrifice for mankind to take away the sin. Now you can come, as Hebrews chapter 4 say, you can come boldly to the throne without a high priest, as if a high priest of man. When you read it in Hebrews chapter, I think that's 7, chapter 7 through 11, 7 through 9 especially, that high priest had to ask for forgiveness himself. If you go back in Leviticus, you'll see how they officiated for the Most High. But this high priest, Yahushua, him that knew no sin and was no sin, he did not need to sacrifice anything because he was sinless. So that's why we can come to him. So these feasts, those feasts that just passed, they were for all mankind that claim that they believe in God and believe in his son. And they believe that his son died for them. That's your feast also, because that's how you please the Father in good works. That's not doing works that people think as works of salvation. No, that's doing, being an obedient child of the Father and doing the things that he laid down, prescribed for you to follow. It's all written in the Bible. You don't have to try too hard. Just pray to the Father to open your understanding, give you understanding, his knowledge, his wisdom, most important, his understanding. And he'll unfold that and reveal it right in your eyes. Those feast days point to this. It's a roadmap to the salvation of mankind. Mankind that lost his way in the garden, being disobedient with the serpent. Deceived Eve in the garden. And took the fruit and presented it to Adam, her husband. And Adam, he disobeyed by eating the fruit. When it was told in Genesis chapter 2:16, you can have all, you can eat everything in this garden, but these two trees in the middle of the garden, this one here, the tree of good knowledge and evil, you shall not eat upon. And the day you eat upon it, you shall die. And that death, he didn't die right then physically, but spiritually he died. It's the time for his life expansion started, expiration started right then. So that being said, we just came out of a season of the Most High, and for his children, it was a glorious season, because that seventh month consisted of a feast from the 15th day to the 21st day for 7 days called, in Hebrew, Sukkos, where you're told to make a sukkah. With palm branches, myrtle branches, you're told to leave your permanent dwellings for 7 days and live in temporary dwellings to commemorate when God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. That's 400 years bondage that they were in, where they roamed in the desert, the wilderness, for 40 years. And what that pointed to is that he sustained them, like the opening part of the opening blessing, when it says, for the joy, the gladness of salvation, for consolation, for your sustenance. He sustained them for 40 years. You'll read it, Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe it is, where he hungered them, he suffered them to hunger, but he fed them, as you know the story, fed them with manna from up above. They thirst in the desert, and he quenched their thirst with water from a rock. And their shoes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell for all that walking in. So he provided for them and gave them provisions for 40 years. And so that feast, when we do that feast, that's what that commemorates. And that's to bring back to your memory that the Most High, if he did it for them, the children of Israel then, he can do it for you right now. Hallelujah. Because why? Hebrews 13, what, 6 and 7 said he the same. Yahshua the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why Yahshua said, I'm that rock, that spiritual rock where that water came from. He speaks about that, I think that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or 2 Corinthians. He said, I'm that same bread. I'm that manna. He told them that throughout the gospel, the Pharisees. He said, the manna that Moses talked about, I am that manna. I am that living, that bread of life. As he told the woman at the well in John 4, he told her, if you give you drink from me, you will never thirst. So that feast we just celebrated, that was 7 days of thanksgiving that the Father made us a moed, appointed time. The word moed in Hebrew, appointed time. That was appointed time for you to dwell, leave your permanent dwellings. He would watch over everything, nothing to worry. And you go and rejoice and give him thanks and praise. Versus where we live in America, next month, the last Thursday of the month, it's Thanksgiving one day. And it always makes me wonder when people say that President Lincoln, he wrote Congress and Congress made that a law. And people say, well, Abe Lincoln was a Christian. I'm saying if Abe Lincoln was a Christian, I'm not questioning his thing, but maybe lack of knowledge. Why didn't he just look in Leviticus 23 and see like, Leviticus 23, verse 33, let's just say 7 days of Thanksgiving. That's what we're going to do. If we're going to say we're Christian nation and God we trust. But a lot of times we see in the world we live in, a lot of people say that word loosely, in God we trust, but their actions show totally different. Like the prophet Isaiah wrote, and like Yahshua said, the people worship me with their lips, but their minds, even though it say heart, are far away from me. Their actions show something totally different. Like we say now in modern times, people talk a good game, but they don't walk that walk. And we told as believers to let our light shine. We the lights of this darkened world. So people are watching, see us. So don't say something out of our mouths, but then our actions are different. And if you couldn't participate and come to Sukkot, Yahweh is understandable. We worship a merciful God that's understandable. He understands society, the world we live in now, because this is not a Israel nation, this United States of America, even though they claim in God we trust, but the actions and stuff that they do, as you see that they passed over the years, what, 2000 and, I want to say, what was that, 2003 or 2008 or something, what we had, what, gay marriage, no, sodomy was authorized on the books in 2003, I want to say, or 2005, and then that was under President Bush, if I'm not mistaken. Then under 2009 or 10 or 11, homosexual marriage was on the books by President Obama. So we say in God, we trust in those things right there, those two things, that's an abomination to the Most High. You find that in Leviticus. And for New Testament people, you find that in Romans chapter 1 and 2. So, like I said, we say that God we trust, but the actions are different. If the apostles would came back like Apostle Paul, Peter, the disciples, you know, Peter, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, who else? Levi, Matthew, John, James. And somebody told them, they walked down the street and somebody told them, this is America. Well, they said, we're going to America. America is a God-fearing country. They would question that, because why they'd be on Saturday, they'd be wondering why nobody's going to a synagogue, or asking them, what's that place right there that looked like an image of somebody that my brother that gave his life thousands of years ago, what somebody else gave their life similar to like my brother? And they go, well, that's supposed to be Yahushua, or they call him Jesus here. They go, really? And so why is nobody in here today? But then he'll see them come the next day if they're going out and they travels and go, where are they going? Like, oh, they're going to worship. And then when certain days of, when the seventh month come again, according to Yahweh, nobody's going to the Feast of Tabernacle. So they were really questioning. Then you hear people say, America. And he say, what's this country in? Who they governed by? America's a God-fearing country. And he'll be like, really? And you see two men together, two women together, and like, what? They getting married? Well, they are married. There's no such thing. So, if you couldn't attend the Sukkos, always keep in mind that God was a merciful God to witness for your neighbors, and not just your neighbor, for yourself. Always put a sukkah up in your backyard or your front yard or on your rooftop. You read that, and I think that's in Nehemiah or Ezra, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know why we're going there. So we're going to go there. So you go. And if you can, you should try to eat a meal, if not all your meals, but at least one meal each one of those 7 days in your sukkah, or like that sukkah, or you can say tent or booth, have a meal that will sit there and have a quiet time or prayer, but definitely eat a meal and do a Bible study in it, or something that's dedicated to the Most High, or go over the account of the Passover, starting in Exodus chapter 12 in that sukkah. And, you know, have a communion and fellowship with the Most High in that. That's what you can do if you can't leave your permanent dwelling. That's a way that you can do it, our Father, is understanding. And yes, people will say, well, God know my heart. Yeah, he definitely do. He told us in Jeremiah, 17? And then Yahshua come along and say it also. Our heart is deceitfully wicked, full of murderers, adulterers. You know how it go. So when people say you have to be mindful, you'll hear a lot of people say that too. God know my heart. You have to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, do you know your heart? And what are you doing to purify and cleanse your heart? And the word heart is not the heart that we think from the medical term that what was 4 aortas, I forgot all my medical stuff, the ventricles and valves, the heart that pumps, that muscle that pumps your blood throughout your body, it helps sustain your life, even though it's God sustaining your life, but that's one of the instruments that God put in you for a human body. It's your mind. God knows your mind. So you have to examine yourself and see if you lining up. Okay, it's 8:30. But that's the month that we're coming out of, and also giving God thanks for what they did. They gave God thanks for the provisions that he provided throughout the whole year, because now, as we know, the winter months are coming. You notice it's been raining. It's going to start raining more. So, you know, in the scriptures, I believe they call it the end gathering. This was considered the end gathering, because what the end gathering, all your sustenance that God will bless you with, the whole year sustain you through what? This eighth month of rain season, the ninth month coming up, Kislev, where the beginning of what winter is. Tenth month Tebet, 11th month Sebet, 12th month Adar. And then the new year come around, the beginning of the year, the Abib come back around. So this is the time of Yahweh, whatever he provides you with your provision, you ponder on that and be thankful and grateful for that. Have a lot to be grateful and thankful for, even if you may not have a lot. You still have a lot to be thankful and grateful for. Don't get caught up in what the things that the world and social media and everything putting out there. It's a lot that you have. And this month that we in now, we're coming in the month of Bull. The seventh month, we just, like I said, this was talking about, also points to a spiritual harvest. The spiritual harvest, because the same way it was in gathering month and the moon is bright, like you got a harvest moon, a hunter's moon, those moons, they're bright. It's also a spiritual harvest for when Yahweh comes back. When he comes back, when he sends his angel, gives his angel command to come, he want to grab people. Get the souls of the people, individuals. So it points to that also, because we know he coming in the seventh millennium. And we know that in the seventh millennium, that's why a man works 6 days, the seventh day is Yahweh and God. So he wished that no man's perish. He wants everyone to be have salvation. I had a video I watched today. I sent out to the congregation. It caught my eye because it was graphic, but I looked at it from a different point of view. It was a snow leopard up in the mountains hunting. It looked like a deer or a mountain goat or I don't know what it was. I seen it. Might have been an ibex, whatever. But it was up in the mountains, and it chased it. And the deer, it was running for its life. And it actually, because I saw some things, it actually ran towards a cliff and kept going. So it wanted life so bad that it I know it had to realize that that was a cliff, but it was willing to say, I want to save my life because I'm getting chased by this predator. This person behind me is chasing me, is going to kill me. So it was willing to run and jump off of the cliff, but as it jumped off the cliff, the snow leopard that was pursuing it actually jumped off of it after it and grabbed a hold on it. And what it made me look as it was going off the cliff, it made me look at it, looked at a duality. It made me look at it as that was my life, not just saying my life, what my life had at one point was like going off a cliff, but I'm just saying as a believer, any of our lives, you put yourself in that. We may not know what we're doing. We're running. And Yahweh want us so bad that when we at the cliff, he jumped and grabbed it. He grabbed and held on. And then what got me was it went always fell off the cliff and never let go. Like it held it till it hit. And but then grabbed it again and it fell off another cliff. And then the cliff went off. And it made me sit back and go, whoa. Yahweh want to save our souls so bad in our lives to prevent us from our souls going to hell, the pit of fire, that he would do that. He would go off a cliff. That's basically how I looked at his son giving his life on that tree, that stake that day, over 2,000 years ago on the 14th of Abib. He's willing to love us that much that he came down from heaven. He came down from heaven and tabernacled amongst mankind for 33 and a half years. But it made me see how Yahshua was saying in John 17, one of his closing prayers before he went to the stake in the morning hours of Abib. He said, I didn't lose not one, Father. I proclaim your name to the ones that you told me to, and they're going to do what they have to. He said, I didn't lose one. And it made me think that clip, how that animal was running for his life and jumped to try to save his life, and where the animal that was pursuing it snatched it and held on to it all the way down. And then, you know, it doesn't show the ending, but I'm sure the ending wasn't favorable for that deer or the mountain goat that was fleeing for his life. But it just made me think of the Father. I go to the Father in that kind of way. Like, that's how bad he wished that no man perished, and that he want to hold on to us. He want us to be with him. It kind of made me think of when Yahshua stood up that time and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I can take you under my wing like a mother hen. But that just was something I came to my mind and I shared it with going on the thread today. But today this was 8:36. Okay, so we're in the eighth month. What's this way? Do not disturb. Somebody sent me something. Not coming up. Oh, it's just thumbs up. Toda, bro. We're in the eighth month, so the eighth month where we the month of Bull, and like I said, it's like a not like an in between or like a precursor, because we're coming out of the holy season, because the 22nd of that seventh month ended the holy season, 22nd. And now the eighth month, we know eight month means infinity, and for the eternity, you know, we get to see the Father. The Rabbi did a beautiful lesson on the eighth day, 2 weeks ago, on the eighth day, on the 22nd of Ethanim, the last day of the holy season, and how he explained to us using the scriptures how those things point to that shadow of things to come. It was at one point in my life, I didn't know what the eighth day, what to expect about the eighth day, but thank Yah for pouring his knowledge into his servant, Yahkael, Rabbi, gave me more clarity and more understanding and more vision now of the eighth day. Because we can see some of the eighth day in the book of Revelations and mentioned throughout the prophets of old Isaiah, I want to say Amos, but I definitely want to say Isaiah and then other prophets. But then the book of Revelation, we can have a little view of the eighth day, the last two chapters of Revelation. So I thank Brother Yaakel for bringing that, because I always wanted also, but that lesson that he blessed us with, sorry that that wasn't an archive, because that was on the live line. It's not like Log Talk where you can go back. But one thing you can rest assured, he is the servant of the Most High. It's in his spirit and his soul, so whenever time, and when Yahweh feels it needs to be brought forth, or some of that lesson be brought forth again, it will be brought forth again through him or one of his Kohen that sit underneath of him. And we go to First Kings to give us a little description of the month of Bull. First Kings chapter 6. You probably heard this before. First Kings chapter 6. First Kings is found in the Bible. It's the 11th book in the Old, what they call the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. As Brother Gary L. say, the testimony of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And 1 Kings chapter 6, I said, yeah, 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, it says, Solomon built the temple. That's a heading. I'm going to read it out. I'm going to read it out of a manuscript. I mean, a Bible that's more clear. Yeah, more helpful. Let me see this one. In the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, so he's in his fourth year because King David, his father, has died. He succeeded him. In the month of Zid, that's the second month. That's the second month of the year. He began to build Yahweh's house. The house which King Solomon built for Yahweh had a length of 60 cubits and a width of 20 and a height of 30. And the porch in front of the temple of the house had a length of 20 cubits, which was along the width of the house, 10 cubits, which was in the width of the front. We're going to go down. It was something I was saying earlier. Verse 7, we'll go down to verse 7. The house, when it was under construction, was built of stone prepared at the quarry, and no hammer or axe or any tool or iron was heard in the house while it was under construction. Remember, Yahweh gave Moses commands in Exodus chapter, Exodus chapter 25, how to construct an altar and temple, and no axe or hammer should have been placed upon that when building put an altar towards Yahweh. So Solomon followed some of the same instructions. That was actually 25. And we go down to verse 11. So Yahweh's word came to Solomon saying, concerning this house which you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and execute my ordinance and keep all my commandments, to walk in them, then I will establish my word with you, which I spoke with David, your father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built the house and finished it. And we go on down to verse 19. It says, he prepared an inner sanctuary in the middle of the house within to set the ark of Yahweh covenant there. So that's where the holy will be found. It made me think of when he said, when you two or more believers are gathered, I'm in the midst, I'm amongst you. Because people, that was a place of worship. But this was going to be the central place of worship. Because before, it was a place, they worshiped at a place called Shiloh. Under the priest, high priest Eli. Anybody familiar with Eli? He had two sons, and that's when the ark got taken away. So we no longer worship at Shiloh. That was a place of worship once. And we're going down, looking for what it's at. And we're going down to verse 37, that's what I want. And the foundation of Yahweh house was laid in the fourth year in the month of Ziph. And in the 11th year in the month of Bull, which is the eighth month, the house was finished. Well, all his parts and according to all his specifications. So he spent 7 years building it. And so we see that he completed Yahweh's house in this month that we are in now, this eighth month, the month of Bull. Excuse me. So this month does have some significance to it. All of Yahweh months have significance. Not one is just like there's no such thing as a small prophet, like a lot of people like to classify some of the prophets whose books are not real long, like Micah, Amos. But if you read, Micah has loaded with some very important things. He speaks about Bethlehem and the place where the Messiah will be born at. So no prophet is a small prophet. Amos talks about can two, Amos 3:3, if I'm not mistaken, can two or more walk together lest they agree. So, you know, Hosea, time to seek Yah, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So no thing is a small thing, a small prophet, small word. But what I found interesting is for some reason it just kept sticking out because it came out the morning of my teaching for Sukkos. Did I teach on Sukkos? Yes, the teaching of Sukkos. It just came out and think how it took 7 years for Yahweh house. We know seven is, you know, the number of completion, and seven is the seventh millennium when Yahweh is going to come and establish his reign on the earth to show people, not only just show people, but rule them on a iron rod. They will do the ways of the Most High. So America and any other country, same God they trust, they will definitely live up to their word. They won't be lying in the seventh millennium when Yahweh come to reign, set up, establish his ways. Everybody will know his ways. And we know what the importance of that seventh month is and the significance of it. You read it, what is it, Zechariah? He said, if Egypt, you're going to make all nations, if no other nations come up and observe that Feast of Tabernacle, he said they will not get any rain. So you know without rain, nothing grows. It'd be a drought, hunger, famine comes. So that month is very important. Anything Yahweh commands is very important. Those things are written in there for our learning, not just written in there. So for people to slight that and say that was for the Jews or whatever, as I was saying earlier, I didn't finish it. I'm glad it came back saying that. That Yahweh didn't get no one thing from no one person. You read, he made Adam, and he gave Adam some commands. And it just keep on going. It just keep on going to the next mankind, next generation. Even though he added some other things, but same thing he made for Adam, he made for every mankind. So that's why he can come in Mark and say he didn't make the Sabbath for man. Excuse me, he didn't make man for the Sabbath. Then you can specify and say that it is for Jews or certain. No, he said, I made the Sabbath for mankind. So that means what? I made that holy because I'm a holy God. And as I always bring a person attention that says a new Sabbath and it's Sunday, which you can't find it in the scriptures. That's a figment. That's an idol in your imagination being misled. A holy God that made a holy world. Holy world with no sin in it. It made a created a holy man and blessed everything. And on the seventh day, he sanctified it. So now this man sins against this holy God. And sin enters the world. And then you're going to tell me now because of that man's sin and this holy God that created everything, his holy Sabbath isn't holy anymore, and that's not holy. It has to be a new Sabbath. Nah, it's not going. So it's like Yahshua asked. He said, "What makes was it Yahshua or Ezekiel? They both used it. He said, "What makes the altar holy?" And Ezekiel gave a couple of examples. Is it the priest? Or was it the meat? Or was if a person touched this? The gold makes an altar, or is the holy, or is the offering is more holy than the altar? Because remember, everything had to point to Yahushua. And that's what people don't realize. You get a chance, you look at that priesthood that Rabbi Yaakel did back in the summertime. If I'm not mistaken, around June or May, I think it's called a priesthood, number 7. Well, yeah, you go from 7, A, B, C, D, and it breaks it down and let a person get to understand it. That the temple that everybody thinking about, like they said, they got a new third temple under construction over in Jerusalem. I rode by a billboard. I couldn't take a picture of it, but I got a shuttle tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Hopefully I can pull on the side and take a picture of that billboard. They said the Mashiach is here. They got a dude in a black suit and a black hat. And I'm like, okay. All right. That's not the temple. As Brother Yaakel brought out in that lesson, that temple was only pointing to, it was a shadow thing to come, it was only pointing to Yahushua. He is the temple. He's the holiest thing that can be. So whether it's the temple or not, you still can worship his honor, his word, because he said not one jot or tittle that my word has to be fulfilled. So he's the temple. So the Sabbath still is has precedent, it's still stand, it still has its authority. The holy feast days, as found in Leviticus 23, and you hear the prophets mention them throughout the Torah, they still stand. Because why? The priests still stand. Yeah, no, a Levitical priesthood no longer, but it's always under the order of Melchizedek. The priests still stand, priests of the Most High. So those things still stand, whether it's a temple or not. And then Yahshua comes along and tell you that you are the temple. That's why your body, you make yourself, Romans 12, he said, be a living sacrifice every day. Because we know back when the temple days were there, we know that was sacrifices had to be offered in the evening and in the morning. So that's why Paul said daily, I die daily. Make yourself that living sacrifice. Then what sacrifice Hebrews say? The offerings of we don't have the offer burnt offerings because Yahshua was that. That's true. I believe that. Well, we got the goats and bullocks. We offer sacrifice of praise. So just because we don't offer goats and bulls and turtle doves and don't have a temple to go to, we can't still honor the first day of unleavened bread, seventh day of unleavened bread. The 7 days of unleavened bread, we can't honor count the homers Shavuot. We can't honor first fruits. We can't honor the current memorial blowing of the trumpets in the seventh month. We can't honor Yom Kippur, the fast. That's the only fast he required for mankind to do. But people out here now, they'll do a Daniel fast. Ezekiel fast, they'll do a fast, but won't do the fast that he asked all people that say they his believers, that they say that they believe in him and worship and honor him and his son, they won't do a fast. That fast right there gives you an opportunity to just like doing Sukkos, leave your permanent dwellings and stay in temporary dwellings, that gives you an opportunity to inflict yourself and you be close as you can get to being like Yahshua when he was on that tree and doing Passover. You say, what do you mean by that? You're not going to die. He gave up his life, like that points to a whole burnt offering. But that day you don't drink if you're in medical good condition. You don't drink anything or you don't eat for 24 hours. That's all he had. That's your day. So when a person says, I'm covered by the blood and I believe in him, I'm sanctified, and you can't do that. That's why he said they worship me with their lips, but their hearts, their minds far away from me. Like, so you talk the talk, but you can't do that for me for one day? Who told you to do a Daniel fast? Who told you to do these other fasts? It's fine, but you don't want to do Yom Kippur. So that means he's the temple, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father in the temple that was not made by man's hands. That's why he told Moses in Exodus 25, make this after the pattern. And what came to my mind with Solomon is it just dawned on me, like I said, that morning when I had to teach, the seventh chapter says Solomon built him a house that took 13 years. His house almost took double the time to build a father's house. And I was like, whoa. But then what got to me was the way he, the things that, the furnishings that was in the temple of Yah, I compared that with how Moshe was instructed from Yahweh in Exodus chapter 25 how to do things, and instilled to me, it just said on me that the only glamorous thing, Yahweh just wanted a place to come and dwell. And so people can come and dwell. And so people can come and not get caught up in the building artifice, you know. Yeah, I know you want to do something for your God and show you have the other nations did that, but the main thing that supposed to be the most beautiful thing in the place of Yahweh was his way of worshiping and how it was officiated by the priest that was set apart, the Levi tribe, that he said he took that for his firstborn. Remember he took the Levi. He's like, the Levi don't get no inheritance. They I got them. So that posing, that's why you look at the regalia, the ephod and the gems that was on the ephod, what we call birthstones now, whatever, but which could be nothing wrong with that. But that pose has been with me. Maybe I'm wrong. Anybody can text me, but you go back to Exodus chapter 25, you read, that should have been the most beautiful thing when it came to when a person went to the house of Yahweh, to see the high priest come out, to see the other priest preparing the altar, preparing the sacrifices for the altar that's going to be offered to the Most High, because one day that's pointing to his son going to come down, like Deuteronomy 8, chapter 18 says, one going to come down amongst you. So that should have been the most beautiful thing, not this temple. Because what did he say? Because we know Solomon said himself, what can contain you? You God, the creator of that universe, heavens and all things. What house can contain you? That's why he said, don't worry. Just build me something. I'm gonna come. Just build that. Pay attention. Just build that ark of that covenant and them cherubims, and I'm going to come and dwell amongst that. He'd have been satisfied and happy for just a little sukkah, a little tent. Because remember, they built the first tent that was mobile. So they could have built, they didn't have to go all out. They could have built a mobile building, you know, a little better than the tent, but make sure all the things that was in the holy places and the altars pointed to the Most High. Don't take away from Yahushua, who's going to come. That's you know, yeah, it had the table of showbread. Yeah, it got to be gold. Remember, it was wood, you know, covered with lead with gold. Brother Dale Well taught that some years ago. Did a beautiful lesson on that. Then the manure. But then remember, like I said, the priest garment. Then remember, the priest had a he wore a crown. Said holiness unto Yah. That way, when the people come, they see that, like, whoa. And then people read through the scripture, and Yahweh give them more understanding, like, that high priest, Yahshua coming one day. Our Savior Israel coming one day, going to be just like that. So that should have been the most glamorous thing. And that's why then when I seen how the next chapter, chapter 7, it took him 13 years to build his house. I was like, wow, that was a lot of time and effort into your own house. So that's why I said sometimes we can get caught up in things. Like I said, nothing wrong to have nice things, but all Yahweh, well, I'm getting that with this family because we're coming out of Sukkos, and what Sukkos means, temporary permanent dwelling. Remember, Yahweh was only going to dwell there temporarily with them. Wherever they, because one day we're going to be with him again forever. That's what we learned from the eighth day teaching that Rabbi Yaakov brought from Revelation chapter 20 and 21. But in the meantime, you could have had a little place for him. Could have had he didn't require all that. But the main thing he wanted that the priest and his officiating and the holy the holy vessels. Hallelujah! Thank you. Like the senses and all those things. He wanted those things. We seen how holy those senses are. Havel taught that class a couple weeks ago, beautifully. How he told it on Yom Kippur. Hallelujah. How Kohath and one against rebelled against Moshe, and Yahweh said, tell everybody bring their censers. I think it was 250 or whatever. And they died. So they took the censers, because Ahabel said they were corrupt, but those censers was holy, because why Yahweh ordained, Yahweh made those censers holy. So they kept them the censers and made it for the lids of the altar. Didn't do away with that. So that's what made me came to my mind was showing it. The house didn't have to be that extravagant. So you don't get caught up in extravagance and all that, where you lose what the house supposed to represent. It's just like it was a movie. I cut off 9 o'clock. Good. It was a movie came out a couple years ago. It was called Black Panther or something. It was a part in the movie. It was a part of the movie that the reigning family had to evacuate because the king, he got killed. He was in a battle because somebody has a long lost brother or something, or a family member could challenge him and for the throne. And he lost. So therefore the king had these warriors, women warriors, and their job was to do like one of the family that who got overthrown, their job is your last duty for that family is to get them out of there because the new incoming family will most likely kill you, you know how things go, and take over. So I never forget the queen, the king's mother, his sister, and they was fleeing and they was leaving. Because the warriors, the king's army, they would have supposed to do it, got them out. They said, okay, go. And they said, come on, you can go with us. And one of the commanders just said, no, that's not what I do. Said, I don't worship who's on the, she said, I don't honor who's on the throne. She said, I honor what that throne represents. And that just stuck to me. It woke me up because it made me think. She was loyal. Some people be loyal to the king that's on the throne. I'm not saying that you don't be loyal to the king that's on the throne, but that's why Yahshua was trying to tell us when he told him in Mark that don't be fascinated over the beauty of that temple right there, that second temple, second century temple, Like don't be that. Not that stone will be there. That's why he told that lady at the well in John 4. He said, well, we worship in the mountain. He said, but you worship, you said, it's going to be a time, as a matter of fact, a time now that you're not neither going to worship in the mountain or you're not going to worship in the temple. Salvation comes from the Yahweh gang, the Jews. Yahweh is looking for people to worship in the spirit, truth. So when she said that, he said, yeah, I worship, I honored you. Yeah, I was loyal to your son because he was the king, but she was loyal to what the king, the throne that the king sat on. And maybe that always stuck to me because, like, as believers, that's what we are. And see, we have a king being Yahushua, the king of all kings. We worship him because we know he was loyal to what that throne and that king sat on. So we that's why, because his father, one day we'll see him on the eighth day. So that's why that part of the movie always stuck out. So that's why, like I said, as far as like the temple, they didn't want to get too extravagant. The main thing should have been extravagant, which was Yahweh already told them, instructed them, with that priest garment and officiating and the holy vessels that conduct the holiness and officiating Yahweh, so people could always focus on that more so than the buildings. Because if you think of it, people go up to a certain place that's beautiful, 9 times out of 10, not a lot of people, I'm kind of pretty observant or whatever, so try to get caught up. You'll lose what you really supposed to be paying attention to because of everything else. Where if it looks like it's just a little shabby place or whatever, but hey, if Yahweh there, is that really a shabby place? No. And then you go in there and you see like, whoa, looks could be deceiving. Yeah, the outside looks kind of shabby, but you see what went on inside? And that's why he tells us, wash the, don't just focus on washing the outer of the cup. Make sure you're cleansing the inside. We say, what a man thinketh, so it comes proceeds forth out of his mouth. So that's why it's good for us every day to renew ourselves and keep Yahweh in the forefront. And we can't be perfect. Like I had to tell one of my brothers, we can't, not my spirit, one of my real physical brothers, you know. Yeah, no, we're not perfect. He's like, only born perfect was Son of God. That's true, but that's no excuse either, because if we say we believe it, we follow it, and believe in that word, we decrease so he can increase, like John said, John the baptizer and murder. So yeah, it's no longer us. As Paul said, I died there, it's the Messiah in me. So why? That's why I can say in 1 John 3:4, his commandments are not grievous. Keep it aside. Keeping the Ten Commandments, keeping his holy days, is they hard? No, because while the spirit of the Mashiach, the spirit of the Most High is in you to help you to keep those. And so it's not us. Yeah, because we know the flesh wars against righteousness. That's the battle. But it's the Messiah in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that would make this battle. So yeah, no, we're not perfect. We're not perfect at all. But that spirit that dwells in us, that's where the perfection comes at. And we can't take no credit for that. Just be merciful and say thank you. That's what it means in Ephesians, when people say, it's no worse. It's you saved by grace. I agree with you 100%. But you still have to do works that's honorable to the Father. Works honorable to the Father, that's obeying his command, law, Torah. But just on that note, family, because that the line won't keep you long. You know, I always say that. Last time I think I taught it, cut off. Well, that won't happen today. But just something to dwell on, especially just to think that what this month signifies, like I said, it's the 8th month, and it's the month transitioning before the winter month comes, because like I said, just came in out of the end gathering month. So we see and that we get ready. Days are getting shorter, because like I said, the sunset today, probably like 6:12 something. And I think about 6:35, 6:40 getting dark. And next week, I believe, they have messed with the clock, which you don't have to. You don't have to fall back. Yahweh doing it already. Leave it alone. But Daniel 7:25 said, man, I think it changed time long season. So they continue to do what they're doing, but they still can't manipulate or affect anything of the Most High plan. This plan still goes forward. But in this upcoming, this winter season that we're coming into, there's no need to look at it as gloomy and dark and rainy. Look at it as Yahweh nurturing you, as you do a plant, or you plant needs water, plant needs sunlight sometimes. So don't look at it like it's gloomy, it's getting cold. Look at it. You could also look at it now. Most people don't be out on this time of year. It's time now. You can come home. And if you didn't study before or look at a Bible movie, a biblical movie, or something biblically based, this time of the year, you can do that, because why? I know in the summer it's more warmer and the sun don't go down at 9 o'clock, 8:30. There's more activity to do. So now you can look at these months. Don't look at it as gloomy. Look at these months when you can get rooted again. Because remember, the ninth month points to a month of restoration, a rest of Kislev. You have something coming called Hanukkah. I mean, dedication. So you're rededicating yourself. And that temple had to get rededicated after it got defiled. So look at this time of the season that we're coming in. We just came out there and gathering, thanking him for all he gave us and what he's going to give us. Yeah, amen. And then look at the time that now you got there and gathering, so you can get yourself ready for the rededication
and you can just roll in and be ready for the Passover when it comes back in. God willing. Hallelujah. But on that note, family, I'm a close. There's nothing else for me to really talk about on the eighth day, but it didn't come to me now. But it just made me think of the feast that we left out of, and Solomon dedicated the house of God. If you continue on, I think it's like the eighth chapter of that first King, and talking about doing the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's kind of good season, because like I said, he dedicated the house during that time. So I mean, well, he dedicated for 8 days. He said, like, I did the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's a time of the year that we can get ready for the upcoming month and look forward to the new year. And like I said, whatever things you didn't do, because we know how life gets in the way, you can start planning and putting goals, setting goals now, because like I said, the winter months get colder. Nobody hangs out too much. And you can dedicate some more things towards Yahweh, and ask Yahweh to help improve you. Because I was sharing with one of the brothers. I said, I hear a lot of brothers say Yahweh speak to them or gave them a thought. I've been asking Yahweh for this class. The last class was over. I didn't get anything. But I learned from my rabbi, I never said I didn't get anything, because as long as I read, there's always something that I can read and then something I can share. And it's something that come out during the read, because that's a living word. So it didn't come out of a class that I could write down on paper that I'm so accustomed to doing, but lately I don't have nothing to write on the papers before class. But if that's how Yahweh wanted it to be, as long as somebody can get something out of it, that's what I'm coming to understand. It's not about Shiloh, what I want. It's for, I want somebody, whatever Yahweh used me to be a vessel to teach, that he gives me, to put in me to bring forth, proclaim something that somebody out there on his airways need to hear, and that can help them, to pull them closer to him and get more understanding, bring them out of the bottom. So if that's how it has to be, I'm all for that. And on that note, family, I'm going to say, I'm going to pray before I do the closing. Father Yah, thank you for this day. Thank you for this evening. Thank you for this first day, eighth day. And continue to open up our spiritual eyes, feed us, give us whatever you want us to learn from the scriptures and tonight. May we build on it. May you expand and open it up more, or give us understanding that we need, that we can share with one another, and continue to walk in your ways and do your will. Father Yah, thank you for watching over all of our Beth Yahweh family, and continue to comfort those that hurt, like I said, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and financially. Father Yah, but let them know that it's nothing too hard for you if we just trust in you. And Father Yah, let them know that sometimes the thing that's best for us, your will, they're not easy. I come to find out, and they don't be comfortable. It hurts. So we have to be grateful and thankful, because you know you're a merciful Father. You know the well-being that you have planned for all of us. So we will make it that day to your kingdom. So if it takes, Father, yeah, some pain to endure to get to that kingdom, so let it be, Father. Yeah. We know you chastise those whom you love, and you won't give us anything harmful for us intentionally. You'll never do that. That merciful God you are. Watch over our God, kids. Continue to heal them, comfort them, and continue to give your wisdom. Watch over all our sisters in the congregation. And like I said, sisters, continue to carry them, enlighten them, to be good help meets the ones that are wise. And all the sisters that are, give them the understanding of the commission of Titus, and that they go forth and tear down the spirit of Jezebel, hidden in feminism. Comfort those, Father God, that's hurting and ways. Encourage them to bring all things supplication to you in prayer. Watch over our young ones in the congregation. Continue to open up spiritual ears, spiritual eyes over our Kohen so we can teach your words, deliver your words, and not only teach and deliver, may we obey your words also. If anything I forgot, Father, yeah, watch over our spiritual leader. Continue to bless him, feed him, and give him the words to continue to give us the guidance that we need. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahshua, our mighty one, King of the universe. May this month be the end of our travails, a start and beginning for the redemption of our souls. For you have chosen your people, Israel, from all the nations. You have set forth the decrees of the new moons for us. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies Israel and the new moon. Have a good night, fam. Lakosh Tova. Shalom.
I pray for the sick and the weak ones too. Yes, I do. And all of those who are strong, let them know their purpose. Let them be agents for you. Well, let them work for you. Yeah. And let your Holy Spirit walk across the waters of my mind. I wanna make you proud of what you've done. So I come to you. I pray, teach the children to pray. Sometimes I lay flat on my back and I pray, and I pray. Well, and I ask for wisdom.
Teach mother to pray.
I pray that your will be done.
Well, that your will be done. He needs to learn to pray.